And welcome to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host for the next 30 minutes, as we have a conversation about faith and how to integrate faith into all the areas of our lives. We will share testimonies and faith journeys intended to encourage you if you're already a believer and challenge you a little bit if you're still checking out faith. And on this program, we believe in all of the biblical precepts, but here are just a few that are kind of cornerstones for us. Number one, that faith comes by hearing and hearing of the Word of God. And so as a result of that, we are going to quote a lot of what you might refer to as the Bible. We call it the Word on here. It's also referred to as Scripture. But we believe that faith comes by hearing and hearing of the Word of God. We also believe that without faith, it's impossible to please God. And we believe in the definition of what faith is. The book of Hebrews says that faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. We also believe that we walk by faith and not by sight. And so with that introduction, I always like to share a little bit of God's word at the beginning of this program. And my Bible reading plan for the week led me to one of my favorites, which is Psalm 91. And so when I open up the Bible reading plan and find out that Psalm 91 is on the list for the day, I know that I'm going to have an awesome day. I recommend that you read the entire psalm. It is not that long. It's penned by King David. I am just going to read the very end, the last three verses to you. So Psalm 91, verses 14 through 16 goes like this. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. I love that entire chapter, Psalm 91, for all our listeners that are just starting to get their way around the Bible. I would say crack that open. It's not that long. It's only 16 verses, but I have experienced a lot of what goes on in that psalm, and it's phenomenal, and it's great spiritual food. Thank you so much for joining us today. This is Everyday Faith Radio. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back with today's guest. Please stay with us.
Here's what's happening in Central Virginia, sponsored by Virginia Blood Services. The Charlottesville Municipal Band is presenting the first summer concert of the season on June 6th at Western Albemarle High School Auditorium in Crozet. The concert is free. Go to seavilleband.org for details. The 50th anniversary of the closing of the Scottsville High School is happening on June 10th from 2 to 6 p.m. This event is for anyone who attended Scottsville High School. It's $20 per person, and it includes dinner. The event will be held at the old Scottsville High School. For information, email shscelebration@yahoo.com. The United Way Relay is being held on June 24th, starting at 7:30 a.m. at Albemarle High School track. The relay supports access for all to local health care. Take part in United Way Relay. Go to unitedwayrelay.org. If your charity or nonprofit has an event, email your information at least 4 weeks in advance to psa@seavillestations.com. For more events, visit our website, wchb.com.
And then you're out of desperation. No, you're not the only one.
Welcome back to Everyday Faith Radio. Thank you so much for joining us today on the program. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host. And with us today on the show is my friend Bill Fulkerson. Bill, thanks for being on the show.
Jeff, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Well, what we like to do, Bill, is talk about people's faith journey. And I've heard a little bit of yours and was wondering if you would share that with our listeners just a little bit, and I might poke around at it.
Sure, absolutely. So I was born and raised in Western New York, grew up playing a lot of sports, pretty much nothing but sports. Eventually got tired of Western New York, couldn't take another Western New York winter, so I had to move south and went to graduate school at an ACC rival, NC State. Mm-hmm. Got a degree in engineering and moved into software consulting. Traveled for about 3 years, decided to get off the road, and went into hospital administration. And so as we've transitioned here into a position in hospital administration, really enjoyed the Charlottesville area. But the growing up, I mentioned I played sports a lot, did very well academically. As an undergraduate, I had a no tuition was need to be paid. Going to graduate school, I got a assistantship, so the state of North Carolina paid for my education. And then I went into software consulting, like I said, and had this great job. And folks were looking around and saying, Bill, you're doing everything that we would want to do. You are extremely successful. And I kept thinking, as I kept going from, you know, middle school up until that point, I didn't have joy in my life. Mm-hmm. So in each step of the way, as I was getting doing things that the world, everyone, what I wanted to do, I was becoming more and more miserable. Mm-hmm. And so I got to a point, working at the software consulting company and said, there's got to be more. There's got to be more to this. And so a friend of mine, I went golfing with him. And on the course, I'm not even sure how the subject came up, but I said, there's got to be more to life than what I'm doing. Hmm. And this gentleman, Mitch Edgeworth, he is extremely successful, very successful person. So I was around a lot of successful people. But he had a peace, a joy in his life that was very different from everyone else. Mm. And I said, what is that? Mm. And so we got talking during that round. He said, why don't you come to church with me? And I'd grown up going to church, but I'd never opened the Bible myself. And so I started asking him questions about what was church actually going to be like, not being very familiar with a Bible-believing church. And so I went, and they did what you would expect to see at a traditional church service, where there was music and all sorts of people on a Sunday morning. The one thing that was different for me was, instead of a sermon, a gentleman who was about 15 years my senior, he stood up and he gave his testimony. Mm-hmm. And he, Dave Wilson. So Dave Wilson said, you know what? I've had lots of success in my life, and I wasn't experiencing joy. I had no contentment in my life. But Jesus Christ, and understanding him and loving him and knowing who he is, brought joy into my life. Mm-hmm. And so after the service, I talked to Mitch. I said, did you plant him? Did you, you know, after the round, did you call up the church and say, hey, I got a friend coming? And, yeah,
that's my story.
And he's going to want to hear something like this. So let's have Dave go up there and speak. Mm. And he said, no, actually, this is the first time that they've not had a sermon and someone had given their testimony. So it was a very unique experience. And so I started asking him questions. I started asking Mitch a lot of questions about the Bible. And it continued. So I continued to go to church service. It was actually very intimidating. So they didn't have a hymnal, the hymn books, but what so they would flash things sort of on the screen very quickly. And so I said, I didn't know the words. So my friend is trying to teach me the words as we're going along and educating me on these things. And I kept learning more about Jesus. I kept learning about, very similar to what you just read, that Jesus loves me, that God loves me. And peace and contentment can be found through Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And so I said, I got to learn more. And this will sound very funny. So I decided after several weeks that this sounded good enough that I was going to invest in a Bible. So everyone else was carrying Bibles around, so I should get a Bible too. And so I went to a Christian bookstore to get a Bible. And much to my first time going to a Christian bookstore, so much to my surprise, there's a wide variety of Bibles that you can get.
Yeah.
So the rows, stacks of Bibles. And so I'm looking around and I'm browsing and I go, I have no idea what to do. I am way out of my element at this point. And so I see my friend the next day and I said, Mitch, I went to the Christian bookstore to get a Bible. And they got all sorts of Bibles there. What do you look for in a Bible? So I had zero Bible literacy at this point. And it can be very intimidating going into a church, even opening the Bible. It can be very intimidating. And so he gave me some instruction on that, including a version of the Bible and also to get a commentary. So as you're reading through the Bible, reading a commentary that tries to explain a passage that you had just read. And so I started reading it, and I started reading it like a normal book. So I started reading it from the very front, and I was going to read cover to cover. So I was starting in Genesis. And I was asking a lot of questions of Mitch. And he said, you know what, you're starting to ask questions that I'm not sure I can fully answer for you. So let me introduce you to Ed Hooser, who was an elder at the church. And so I got to meet Ed and his family, and Ed agreed that he would meet with me every other Saturday morning. So he's a very busy guy, and he was willing to take time to answer questions that I would have. So this went on for several weeks, and so I was learning a lot about what the Bible said. But I was getting to the point where I said, you know what? What I'm doing career-wise is definitely not bringing me joy. And I just need to not do it. So I walked in. I was with a software company. And we were working with a venture capitalist to close on a project. I got off the airplane on a Friday from Chicago and came in that Monday saying, you know what? I think I'm out, guys. And they said, you've been working really hard. We need you to, just take a break, take a week off, and come back and then let us know. So I took the week off, went to the beach, met up with a friend of mine from graduate school that we used to go out and go hang out at bars and spend a lot of time at bars and poolside drinking. And we started doing the same thing. And I said, you know what? This isn't working for me. There's some change. There's something that's going on that I'm not enjoying myself. And so I cut the time with my friend short. And it was really a function not of the actual drinking itself, but really more of not being led by the Holy Spirit when I drink versus the actual drinking itself. And so I went back and said, nope, I'm going to stop. And they said, what are you going to do for work? I said, I don't know yet. I'm just going to keep reading the Bible. And so so my routine was Sunday mornings going to church, Sunday evenings going to church, Wednesdays going to church, and then all the time in between, I'm just reading the Bible. And Ed had guided me to the book of John. And I said, I'm reading all this stuff, and it sounds wonderful, but I got to the point was, is it true?
Mm-hmm.
Can I really believe what I'm reading out of the Bible? And so I was given a book, Evidence That Demands a Verdict, by Josh McDowell, and it went through a very thoughtful analysis of the Bible. So it took the historical evidence that aligned with biblical time of biblical events, the historical evidence that Jesus was actually real person, and then also the thought argument about the Bible. So there's a an exercise where he goes through Jesus is a liar, lunatic, or Lord, and says, you know, he was either knowingly misled people, and if that's the case, then he's not Lord. he's a lunatic, he was crazy and didn't really know who he was, or he is actually who he says he is in the Bible. And so you can't say that Jesus is a good teacher or a good person without saying he's Lord if you're looking at the Bible. And so you have to say which one of these three makes the most sense. And so the other component was the evidence of the resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
So when you talk about the Bible and Jesus being Lord and God, you have to say, was he truly God? Was he the Son of God? And I was going to have a hard time with the virgin birth, at least trying to come up with evidence on that as the miracle and how that occurred. But I said, the resurrection, I think we can get around. And so what we, the pathway was, had to say, Jesus died. Did he rise from the grave? And if he did, yes, I can totally get on board with this. There was evidence that said Jesus died. All sorts of people said they saw him. And the prize for that was they were going to get killed.
Mm-hmm.
And so folks typically, if they're faced with something that they know is not true, they're not going to put themselves in harm's mm-hmm. way protecting that lie. Mm-hmm. And so the evidence was just very strong that I said, I can absolutely believe what I'm reading in the Bible.
Mm. This is Everyday Faith Radio. We're talking with Bill Fulkerson. And Bill, it's an awesome faith journey that you've shared so far. We have so much more to talk about. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back in just a moment with more Everyday Faith Radio. Please stay with us.
Here's what's happening in Central Virginia, sponsored by Virginia Blood Services. The last concert of the Crozet Community Orchestra's 2016-2017 concert season is happening on June 4th at Crozet Baptist Church on St. George Avenue in Crozet, starting at 4 p.m. Details at CrozetCommunityOrchestra.org. The Virginia Folk Life Program at the Virginia Foundations for the Humanities is offering the class of master artists in the Virginia Folk Life Apprenticeship Program. Learn candy making, spinning and weaving, logging, banjo making, soul food cooking, and more. Details at virginiafolklife.org. You could save a life. Virginia Blood Services is holding a blood drive on Wednesday, May 31st at the Albemarle County Office Building in Charlottesville in the auditorium from 9 a.m. until 1 p.m. If your charity or nonprofit has an event, email your information at least 4 weeks in advance to psa@seavillestations.com. For more events, visit our website, wchv.com.
And then you're out of desperation. No, you're not the only one. Praying, Lord above, I need a miracle.
Welcome back to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host, and with us on the program today is my friend Bill Fulkerson. Bill, we were just getting into the part of your faith journey where you were confronted with both, I think C.S. Lewis also goes into Lord, Liar, Lunatic. Mm-hmm. When you're talking about Jesus, at some point in your life you need to choose which one are you going to basically label him,
yeah.
Lord, Liar, or Lunatic.
Right.
But you can't just dismiss it. You
right.
have to make a choice. And then I love you, the part of your faith journey where, because I can already see with your, and you're a very modest guy, but your intelligence level, you needed evidence. I have a son who's very similar to that in that he really studied The Case for Christ mm-hmm. and other books along, like Josh McDowell's book that gripped you, the evidence of the resurrection. So
yeah.
Let's just kind of pick up where you were there.
Yeah.
Start us back to at that point.
Yeah. So now I'm faced with, I like what I'm reading in the Bible, and I believe it to be true. So now it's the, when you take a look at Jesus, and many folks will say, yep, I love the fact that I have a Savior, and I go to heaven if I accept him. But the fact on Jesus is Lord and Savior,
mm-hmm.
and was I willing to have Jesus be Lord of my life?
Mm-hmm.
And that took probably another month. So it said turning away from things that weren't consistent with what Jesus would have in my life. But I also, going back to how I started, I had no contentment in my life. I had no joy. And so I knew what I had been doing and the things that I was pursuing were not something that could sustain. It was not something that would bring joy in my life. And so I said, I have to do something new. Mm. Not only am I reading about it, I've got my own experience on one side, and then I've got my friend Mitch's experience on another side. Mm. And so it was at that point that I said, you know what? I am absolutely a sinner in need of a Savior. Mm. And I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Mm. So that was approximately 17 years ago.
Awesome.
Yep.
Now talk to me about the new bill. What happened to you in that transition from the old bill to the new bill?
Yeah, there was the Holy Spirit truly took over in my life. Mm-hmm. So I talked about going out and drinking, and the Lord said, you know what? For you, that's not something that you should be doing. Mm-hmm. You would be more driven by the alcohol than the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And so he took that, took that desire away from me very quickly.
Wow.
My language, mm-hmm. the words that I was using historically were not godly words. And God took them from my vocabulary.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a peace.
Mm-hmm.
I have a peace in my life. I know that God is fully in control, mm-hmm. and that no matter what the circumstances are, I'll see his hand at work. Mm-hmm. And I've been very fortunate to have that occur. So I'm married. I have two kids. My son was born with a cleft lip and palate. But during the pregnancy, during the ultrasound, we were having the study done, and multiple people kept coming into the room to take a look at the study. Mm-hmm. And they would sort of point at something on the screen, and they say, we need to talk to, this next person. So another person would come into the room. They would take a look at it, and then another person, they would walk out and say, they're going to talk to this other person. Another person comes in. And so working in healthcare, I said, something is a little curious, and something is odd in their perspective. So they pulled us out of the exam room and pulled us into a consult room. And they said, Mr. and Mrs. Fulkerson, we see something that's inconsistent with life.
Mm.
And so the my wife's reaction, I could just see it on her face, was just incredible sadness and disbelief. And so I started, my background is in mathematics and engineering, so I started asking, what are we talking about as far as like a 10% chance of living, 5% chance of living, 1% chance? And they said, no. And so I said, 50% chance of living? And they said, no, nothing like that. I said, so what exactly are you saying? And they said, we're just seeing something that we've never seen before.
Mm.
And so I said, so you don't really know what you're looking at.
Mm.
And they said, well, we know he's got a cleft lip and palate. And then we see something with the umbilical cord that looks odd. So we'd like to do some further testing. So one of the tests they offered up would sort of evaluate for birth defects. And we said, no, we're not interested in doing that because it's not going to change our decision on what we would do with the pregnancy. But the second one was they wanted to take a closer look at the umbilical cord. And so they had us go have another test, and the doctor comes out and says, Mr. and Mrs. Fulkerson, we see the cleft lip and palate, and then everything else is grossly normal. And so we walk out of that, but during that time, so it wasn't like one day to the next, this is over several days, we just prayed, Lord, we know you are in control.
Mm-hmm.
We just want to see your hand at work here. And we know you're going to use this for your good and for your glory.
Mm.
So we got to see God's hand at work. Mm. The my wife's doctor gives us a call several weeks later and said, you know, I've got another patient who's in a similar situation as you with the cleft lip and palate. But her support system isn't quite as strong as yours. Would you be willing to talk to her?
Mm.
And Mary Pat tells me about this after she gets off the phone. I said, you know, God put us in this situation using our situation with our son so that you could witness to this woman. And she goes, yep, I was thinking exactly the same thing. And so my wife got to meet her, tell her about Jesus Christ, and they are now friends. This is someone that is now a believer and attending church based on the friendship that my wife was able to develop with the woman, based on our experience, which could be viewed as a very negative experience, but we knew God had something in store for it. So I've got all sorts of examples of things like that. I have the opportunity to be able to pray with lots of folks where I work. I have people that report to me, and as different things come up in their lives, I have the opportunity to pray with them. I've never been turned down when someone's going through a difficult situation to pray for them. And it's generated follow-up questions after their difficult circumstances. So folks,
let me ask about and I have lots of questions, and we're running out of time, but I want to slip this one question in. One of the scripture verses that's so dear to me is Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, which my paraphrase of that is, what the enemy meant for bad, God will use for good. And I see that all over, not all over, just all over your life, but particularly in the challenges in the birth of your son, how that if you didn't have faith and if you didn't put all of your trust in God, that it's in his hands, how that could have ended so radically different than the amazing way that it's going for you guys.
Oh yeah, no, that's exactly right. And I look back and see, you know, where I didn't have joy in my life, how I would get frustrated over even minor things, let alone bigger things. But knowing that God is in control is just a great relief. Knowing the truth that God is in control is a great relief. And you see examples of it through the Bible. So Joseph in the Old Testament, where he's got 13 years from when he's 17 to 30, being sold into slavery by his brothers and going by his brother, and then being imprisoned and then being a servant for all that time. And then he goes to helping God's people as the administrator in Egypt. Nehemiah, when he hears about the condition of the city and saying, I got to help rebuild this. We got to put God's name back here. And so, yeah, that's absolutely true. Where we have difficult situations, we can turn to God. And my prayer is always, can I see God's hand at work? And as a family, we've been very blessed to see God's hand at work. So I mentioned the one story with my son, but we've had different circumstances like that where I had to make difficult decisions or going through tough times. And it's, God, I know you're there. I know you're in control of the situation. We just pray that we get to see your hand at work, and we get to see the fruit of this experience in someone else's life.
That's awesome. Well, Bill Fulkerson, your faith journey is amazing. It's interesting listening to you. Our journeys are, there's a lot of similarities, and I know that there's been encouragement for our listeners hearing about the new Bill Fulkerson. But, Bill, I'm going to get you back on the show because I have a lot more questions. But to you and to your family, I will say, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and bring you peace.
Heal a broken heart. Let your presence alone.